Thank you, ladies. Wish to welcome you here this evening as we gather for our Ash Wednesday worship service, the first day of our Lenten journey, as we journey together to the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a joy to have you here, a joy to welcome you here as we come into this place and as we worship together. As I said, this evening, our confirmation youth will be leading our worship service, and so there are a lot of call and response will be happening in your bulletin, but also on the screen. So we'll just pause for a moment in silence, and while that's happening, Kevin, you can come up and Adam.
Join me in call to worship, prayer, and repentance. The Lord calls us from our homes, drawing us to this sacred time and space for worship, prayer, and repentance.
We come ready and willing to dwell in God's presence, for the Lord is the source of our very being.
God calls us to renew ourselves and our lives propose as we gather with others who are searching for meaning.
Let us be silent together as we once again seek ways to center our lives on Christ.
Let us now celebrate the richness and diversity of life in Jesus Christ.
I invite you to rise in body or in spirit for our opening song, Spirit Song, number 347.
Thank you.
I invite you to join me in the Ash Wednesday Unison Prayer. It's actually in your hymnal on 353 and also on the screen. And it says leader, but I'd like to invite you to join me in the unison prayer. So just say it with me, even though it's not bolded. Let us pray. O God, maker of everything and judge of all that you have made, from the dust of the earth you have formed us, and from the dust of death you would raise us up. By the redemptive power of the cross, create in us clean hearts and put within us a new spirit, that we may repent of our sins and lead lives worthy of your calling. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And I invite you to join me for a moment of silent reflection, and then we will say together the Lord's Prayer. You may be seated. Join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Hear the Old Testament reading from Joel. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness like dawn spreading across mountains. A large and mighty army comes, such as never was in ancient times, nor ever will be in ages to come. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and relent and leave behind a blessing, grain and offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, declare a holy fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people, consecrate the assembly, bring together the elders, gather the children, those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride in her chamber. Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between their portico and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God?
Please join me in the response. Cry and God will answer. If you do away the yoke, the clenched fist, the wicked word, if you give your bread to the hungry and relief to the oppressed, your light will rise in the darkness and your shadows become like noon. The Lord will always guide you, giving you relief in desert places.
Put it right there. Let me just tell them something. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
Okay. Oh, yeah. My father has handed all things over to me. No one knows the Son except the Father, and nobody knows the Father who except the Son, and any more to him of the Son wants to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are the struggling hard and carrying heavy loads, and I will give you a rest. Pull my yoke and learn me from me. And I'm gentle and humble, and you will find us the for yourselves. My yoke is easy to bear, and my burden is light. The inspired Lord of the God, the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good job. Take that back with you. Thank you. You may be seated. So when I, before I was a pastor, I was a teacher, so for those that don't know that, I actually taught middle school science, and in preparation for my science teaching, I took a lot of science classes. One of my favorite classes was microbiology. Any microbiologists out there? It was a lot of fun because we'd look at cuts of little things under the microscope. Little microorganisms, and they all looked kind of different. And one of the things that we did is we would take this dye the stuff on the slide, and then look at it and made it more visible under the slide. The rule was, if you used up all the dye, you had to go refill the bottles. And so I just want to show you what happened to me one day when I was refilling the bottle. So a bottle very much like this, with dye in it, and a stopper so that you could put the dye in, take out the dye, and drop it on the slide. So here's what happened when I refilled the bottle. I filled it, and what did I forget to do? Leave space, right? I forgot to leave space. Now, he was a nice microbiology teacher, but he made some pretty good remarks about my fact that I had not left any room in my bottle for the dye to go in there, knowing full well that I had to be able to put the stopper in. As you can see, the title of our sermon is Leaving Room. And when I put the stopper in, of course, what I did immediately was I pulled the stopper back out because I didn't want to lose very much dye in my of the dye. You know, it's kind of precious. It was, you know, I didn't know if it was expensive or not. I didn't want to waste it. And so I immediately pulled the stopper back out. Well, our lives are actually a lot like this bottle. And we fill our lives with lots of stuff. We fill it with activities and athletics and music and technology and our gadgets. We fill it with material goods. And when we fill it with material goods, there's really not a lot of extra room for Jesus. So, yeah, in this equation, Jesus is the stopper, right? in case you weren't following, Jesus is the stopper in this one. And so when we do that, when you put the stopper in, we don't want to lose all the good stuff we put in our lives, and so we quickly pull Jesus back out of the equation. We push Jesus out of the way so that all of our stuff can take up the space that we would like it to. Because we like our stuff, right? We like the things that we have. We like those things, so we push Jesus back out. Over the 40 days of Lent, we are doing a sermon series and a study on a book by Robert Schnese called The Balancing Act, A Daily Rediscovery of Grace. And And the balancing act is about balancing out all the stuff in our lives and trying to make it all fit well. And it actually comes from balancing on a tightrope. So anybody, raise your hand if you have seen a tightrope walker. Right? Raise your hand if you are a tightrope walker. Oh, okay, we got a couple. Okay, so if you watch a tightrope walker, they carry a pole, right? They carry a pole, and what is the pole doing? It's helping them balance. And if you watch a tightrope walker, they are ever balancing on the tightrope, right? If you ever watch a tightrope walker, they are never balanced, but they are always balancing. Do you hear the difference? You cannot stand on a tightrope and be balanced, because you're always balancing. You're always counteracting. And I mean, I'm just standing with my feet together, and I feel like I could fall over. I should tell us something. So we're always balancing to stay upright. That's what the tightrope walker does. And so in our lives are also never balanced. Anybody feel that way? Life is never balanced. But we can live lives that are always balancing, because the way it works is we have too much time or too little time, too much money, right? That's a good problem, right? Or not enough money. We have too much leisure time or not enough leisure time. And Christ wants us to live a life that is balancing, that takes all the stuff that we have and balances it in a way that allows us to be able to be close to Christ. But that can only happen if we leave room for Christ in our lives. We can fill it pretty quickly with daily things of life, and sometimes mundane things, and sometimes exciting things. And we make plans. Our lives are about making plans. Or we make so many plans that, all right, I just don't want to make any plans this week. And I'm sure that you have experienced in your life, 3 months down the road, somebody says, would you like to do this really cool thing? And you turn in the calendar, and there's this nice open square, right? Have you had open squares? There's an open square, and around it are open squares. And so you say, yes, I'll do that thing, and you put it in, and you're really excited. Maybe you had to pay for tickets to do it. And then as it gets closer, what happens to the squares around it? They fill up. And even sometimes in that square where that really cool event is happening, something gets put in there too. And you find that you're going from one to the next. If you were here on Sunday, you saw that I was going from one to the next. I left church early so I could go to Mamma Mia. Didn't realize that the show was at 1 o'clock, and it's a 35, 40-minute drive from Tipton. So you know, had to balance out how I was going to make it all work. That's why it's important to find space in our lives, find space in our lives for Jesus, so that when important things come along, when we feel like we're overbooked or overworked, that Christ can enter in and fill us with some peace. This Lenten season it's the 40 days from Ash Wednesday to Easter. And if you do the math, it doesn't include the Sundays, because Sundays are mini resurrection days. And so in those 40 days, we're called to be intentional about that time and be repentant. And I invite you to kind of selectively decide what you're going to put in your bottle so that you can leave a little bit of room for Jesus in Lent. Because really, Lent is about Jesus. And if we don't leave space, we don't leave room for Jesus in our Lenten experiences, then we may as well, it's just another day, it's another week, it's another time of the year. I invite you to think about giving up something that distracts you from your relationship with Jesus. Our Catholic brothers and sisters have traditionally given things up for centuries, actually. And it's actually not been that long, you know, in the last probably 50, 60 years, that the Protestants have said, actually, that's a really good practice to be intentional about giving something up that distracts us from Jesus, and to put something in or take something out in order to leave room for Jesus. So I invite you to try giving something up. You know, people like, you know, so you give up sweets, or you give up smoking, or you give up soda pop, or whatever. But whatever it is, it's something that could distract you from Jesus, or maybe you spend too much money on it. You know, a quick run through the coffee shop place at $4 a cup, you know, that money could be used for something else. And then when you're doing without that thing, the idea is that when you're doing without the thing that you really, really, really want, is you think of Jesus. And you allow Jesus to come in and say, okay, you don't really need that thing, you need me. That's what Jesus wants us to say, is wants us to need him. So I imagine that most of you know that I commute from Coralville to Tipton in order to serve as your pastor. And in order to pass the time, and sometimes in order to stay awake, I listen to books on tape or on CD. And for the last 5 years, one of the places where I decided I could give up was I gave up music and books on CD and talk radio and music and all that stuff. I gave it up in the car, and so that I would have virtually 80 minutes a day commuting where it was silent in the car. I don't know if you've ever tried having it silent in the car for 80 minutes. It requires that you get inside your own head, and for some that can be dangerous. For me, it can be a little dangerous to spend too much time in there. But what I do is when my hand reaches for that dial, then I think about Jesus, and I say a little prayer and ask Jesus to kind of guide me through this time of silence. And invariably, I get some good think time. And actually, I've actually written a few sermons in the car just thinking through some of the things that are going through my head. This Lenten season, I invite you to think about what you might consider giving up, or what spiritual discipline you might add. We just finished our 7 weeks of prayer, and maybe what you need to add in is more prayer time into your day. Our youth, we've actually given them a 40-day reading thing for the book of Luke to learn more about Jesus, to spend a little time in the Bible every day, to spend a little more time with Jesus. If you give something up, you know, maybe it's the Starbucks or the M&Ms or whatever it is you give up, maybe you can give that money to an organization that could use it. The 40 days of Lent is about leaving some room for Jesus, not filling everything in your life so that you overflow when Jesus starts to come in, that there's just no room for Jesus in your life. We cannot be so busy that we miss the Holy Spirit working in our lives. We miss the moments of beauty and of grace that Christ has to offer us. In the balancing act, there's some great, really short stories. All the devotions are 1 to 2 to 3 pages long. And they're stories of where the author has seen God at work in the everyday mundane things. But we miss them if we don't leave room for Jesus, if we don't focus in on what's happening in that. So if you want to commit to doing that, we can help you find a group or get you a book and help you to start living a life that it's balancing. Remember, not balanced, but living a life that is balancing. Balancing home and work and school and our relationship with Jesus Christ. My friends, will you leave room for Jesus this Lenten season? Let us pray. Holy and loving Lord, we thank you that we could pause tonight and spend some time with you. I thank you for showing us how you can show us how to have a more balanced life, a balancing life, one where we make room for you. In your name we pray. Amen. Our song of preparation comes from The Faith We Sing, number 2152. We'll sing that through two times. Change my heart, O God. And I invite you just to remain seated for that.
Join me in the litany of confession. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken heart, one filled with regret and remorse. God will not despise it. We are a broken people. Trusting in God's mending ways, let us now confess our sins before God and one another.
Against you, Lord, you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. You are indeed justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment.
Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities.
In your bulletins, You received a slip of paper, and I know that a lot of you did not get bulletins, and so if I could have my ushers, if you didn't get a slip of paper and would like one, ushers, if you could pass these out to them, just raise up your hands and if you would like a like one. So as you are thinking about your slip of paper and what you might put on there, this is an opportunity for you to just write down some of those things that you are going to be asking God for forgiveness for. Maybe you already have. Maybe you're hanging on to it a little bit and you need a little help letting go of it. Invite you to write that down and fold it over. Nobody will read this, by the way. It will actually go in here. And then after the service, I will literally burn them, and they will be gone. So, but I decided not to do it in here. Don, our custodian, told me that it would take, like, some ungodly amount, like a million gallons of water to put out this place if it burned down. So I had that in mind when I decided not to burn them in the sanctuary. So, but know that nobody's going to look at them. So, when we come up for the imposition of the ashes, you'll be able to place them in the bowl when you come forward and know that they're gone after you get rid of them. And in doing that, I invite you to offer up those sins and let them go. Let Christ have them and know that you are indeed forgiven. So we are doing that.
O Lord, open our lips as our mouths declare your praise.
The Lord creates in us clean hearts. God puts new and right spirits within us. We are not cast away from the presence of the Holy One, and the Holy Spirit is not taken from us. In Christ, we are restored to the joy of God's salvation. And by God's grace, our spirits are remade to follow God's will. Thanks be to God.
Hear the explanation of the imposition of ashes. In our scriptures, we read that the spiritual ancestors would sometimes cover themselves in ashes as a public demonstration of their penance, an outward expression of their repentance for having sinned. Many Christians continue to practice that on Ash Wednesday, having confessed our sins before God and one another, placing our hands on the paper, burning the paper, and reducing them to ashes. Let us now experience the outward sign of repentance found in the imposition of ashes.
The ashes that I have here are last year's palm branches having been burned, and that's what we will be using for the imposition of ashes. Hear the blessing of the ashes. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have created us out of the dust of the earth. Grant that these ashes may be to us a sign of our mortality and penitence, so that we may remember that only by your gift of grace are we given everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I now invite you to come forward and receive the mark of the ashes as a sign of your repentance. If you would like to have them on your forehead, you can just part your hair away, or if you want it on your hand, put your hand forward, and we'll put the sign of the cross, I'll put the sign of the cross on there, and your sins may go in the bowl. And I just invite you to come as you feel led to come and come forward. And I'm going to have the choir come first to do that. So if you want to come around. Before we do our prayer for the offering, I'd actually like to take an offering, but so our ushers are going to get the offering plates, and back there, yeah. I invite you to be generous in your gifts as the Lord has been so generous with you.
Please rise as I give the prayer of dedication. Most holy God, your Son came to save the sinners from death, and for that we are eternally grateful. We offer but a small token of thanks to you as we present these gifts. We pray that these offerings will be blessed and multiplied in order for we, your people, to share your hope with others. In your name we pray. Amen.
Join me as we sing our song of sending, Lamb of God. It's number 2113 in the Faith We Sing, also on the screen.
Your son to hide, but you have sent him by your side to walk upon this guilty side. And join me for the blessing and sending. Go forth into the world in the strength of God's mercy to live and serve in the newness of life.
We are sent in Christ's name, the Lamb of God, who laid down his life for us all. We pray that the Lord will order our days in peace and grace. Thanks be to God. Amen. As you depart, we have our postlude. Kelly and Rachel will be doing that. Thank you for worshiping with us, and thank you for our confirmation youth for their leadership tonight.